Markets have a case of the Mondays.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. The markets are digesting a whole lot of economic news right now, from unemployment numbers to manufacturing. Here to check in about the week ahead is Julia Coronado, Chief Economist for North America at BNP Paribas. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Last week, we got a lot of economic data. We got an employment report. We got a lot of news from the Federal Reserve. Also, a lot of revisions for gross domestic product. Tell me a little bit about how the markets are digesting all that news.
Well, we had some mixed signals last week. Like you mentioned, we had a tremendous amount of information to digest. Some of it positive, some of it a little bit worrisome. We had some hopeful news from the manufacturing front with a pop in the manufacturing index for July. So this morning, we're going to get the service sector, and we're looking to see whether that confirms that we're getting the much-anticipated second-half rebound or whether it's more worrisome.
What about the data that we got last week in sum total? Were you encouraged by it or were you worried?
Well, the GDP report was quite frankly disappointing. It paints a picture of an economy that slowed down to a below 2% growth pace, which that is certainly worrisome. The employment report was mildly disappointing, certainly not a game changer there. Employment overall seems to be holding up reasonably well. But the quality of jobs hasn't been as robust as we'd like to see. So I'd say we're basically kind of where we've been, moderate growth, decent job creation, but not the best jobs. So we're still looking for better days ahead.
Julia Coronado is Chief Economist for North America at BNP Paribas. Thank you, Julia.
It's a pleasure.
We'll see quarterly earnings tomorrow from CVS. Last week, we heard from Walgreens, where profits were up. With millions of people set to get insurance under Obamacare, the big pharmacies are priming themselves to cash in. Gigi Duban has that story.
Got pink eye? Acne? Need to shed a few pounds? Your local Walgreens and CVS want to take care of you in one of their on-site clinics.
Those are proving to be very popular and have got some really big traction going on them.
J.B. Silvers is a healthcare economist. He says under the new healthcare law, insurance companies are going to push more patients toward retail clinics to cut down on charges from hospitals and doctor's offices. Reed Blackwelder is president-elect of the American Academy of Family Physicians. He says Walgreens and CVS shouldn't start counting their money just yet.
And emergency rooms and retail clinics really should not be routine and regular sources of care.
He says patient care becomes more fragmented when retail clinics take on a bigger role.
Unfortunately, a lot of what's being suggested is not in the mindset of a patient-centered coordinated care approach.
But Silver says with the shortage of primary care doctors and the push toward more preventive care, the clinics are likely to keep expanding. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
It could be curtains for Fannie and Freddie. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are government-backed mortgage entities that taxpayers bailed out to the tune of billions of dollars after the housing market crash. There's a proposal in Congress that would dismantle Fannie and Freddie. Marketplace economics guy Chris Farrell is all for it. He joins us now to explain. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Chris, Washington's been debating how to reform them ever since the crash. So catch us up. Where are we on this?
Well, you know, everyone agrees we need to do something about them. And there's a lot of discussion about shrinking Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But I say, look, the taxpayer is going to remain on the hook. Here's the solution. Let them fade into the dustbin of history.
This is very extreme. I mean, as you say, Fannie and Freddie are very much woven into the housing market. I mean,
yes.
Sort of on an incredible scale. What happens if we just kill them?
You know, one is that the interest rate on a mortgage will go up. And the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, which is the pillar of the U.S. mortgage system, will disappear because no private lender is really going to put money out toward most homeowners. But here's my response. So what? We have an economy where, you know, there's a lot of churn and people lose their jobs and they're going to move a lot. So I say, why should we make so many incentives toward housing? And let's just make housing another investment.
Well, that's very radical. I mean, we're in a country, even still, more than half of households own their homes. And I think one of the arguments for pushing home ownership, for making it easier, has always been that it encourages spending. I mean, is there a worry that if home ownership declines, that American consumer spending, which is, you know, one of the largest chunks of our economy, will suffer?
Never underestimate the ability of the American entrepreneur to convince you to spend. And remember, who really wants to preserve Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? It's Wall Street, because they make a lot of money slicing and dicing the products from Freddie Mac, and it's the housing industry. So, yes, there is a transition cost if you're moving away from an economy where housing is so important and then housing shrinks in importance. But the more important thing is we shouldn't be creating so many incentives for people to be putting their money into housing.
Marketplace's economics guy, Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, the world's first lab-grown burger was officially tasted today. A Dutch scientist used stem cells from a cow to create the beef. The Petri patty won't hit your Happy Meal for at least a decade, though. Here's a clue as to why. The 5-ounce burger cost more than $330,000 to produce. Also, the two volunteers who tried it said it wasn't flavorful or fatty enough. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.